Okay, good morning. I'm happy to be here today. A beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, to give him that praise and to learn of his goodness. You know, my brother Bruce Haynes last week had said, "Oh, I see you're preaching at the temple lot." And I said, "Yeah." I said, this might be my fifth sermon. And four out of the five were at the East Local where I attend. Fewer people, and I said, but I grew up at the temple lot, and half my married life I was at the temple lot, and Wednesday nights, it's a blessing that we can meet two of the Wednesdays together with the temple lot, you know, with our brothers and sisters. What a joy it is. And he said, yeah, but he said, he didn't say but he said, now remember, there's live stream too, because I was saying there's a lot more people at the temple lot, and he said, and live stream. And so I want to say hello to all those that are on live stream too, that maybe something hopefully what I bring today, God will bring to us something that we need to apply to our lives. And so it's a blessing to be here today. And I would like to start by reading Psalm 100. We all know this. But Psalm 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And I like to start every sermon with that joy, with that praise to glorify our God in everything we do. So, I guess this will pertain to what my subject is, because praising our Lord is what we want to do and live our lives for our God. Towards the first of February, or probably the end of February, our brother Jim had texted me and said, "Now, can you preach on today?" And I was like, "Sure." And I had been thinking of a subject, and I had the subject in mind, and so I started to study. And then, as I was studying and praying to God, he changed my subject. You know, it was a different subject, and so I thought, okay. So I started studying that, and then I came to choir practice that next Sunday, and I was standing there, and it was the men up here, and I heard them. D.A. had preached that morning, and I think Gary, different ones, were asking him about it, and his was on pride. It was on pride and humility, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's what I was changed to preach on. And so my thought was, oh, I got to change this, because he just preached on this. And then I thought again. I thought, you know, the Lord has placed this on my heart. So maybe I'm sure we need that. So I realized, you know, that I needed to speak on the same thing. Now, mine will probably be different. But so my sermon today is pride and envy versus humility and love. And I'm going to start with Jacob, the second chapter. This is on page 170. So Jacob 2, page 170. And I'm going to start with 14, and it says, "And now, behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you, and to your seed doth abound much plentiful, most plentiful. And the hand of the providence hath smiled upon you most pleasingly, and you have obtained many riches, and because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than your brethren, ye are lifted up in your pride of your hearts, and wear stiff necks and high heads, because of the costliness of your apparel, and persecute your brethren, because that ye suppose that ye are better than they. And now, my brethren, do you not suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but he condemneth you. And if ye persist in these things, his judgment must speedily come upon you. Oh, that he would show you that he can pierce you with one glance of his eye. He can smite you to the dust. Oh, that he would rid you from this iniquity and abomination. And oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commands, and let not the pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek ye the kingdom of heaven, of God. And after that you have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches, if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for the intent of doing good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride. And those of you which are afflicted have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him, because that ye were proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given unto you. What say ye of it? Do you not suppose that such things are abominable unto him who created all flesh? And the one being is as precious in his sight as the other. And all flesh is as of the dust, and for the selfsame end hath he created them, they that should keep his commandments and glorify him forever. And now I make an end to the speaking of you concerning this pride. And so in this reading, it says that we must not be prideful. And before we seek riches, we must seek the kingdom of God. You know, we must be humble and recognize our dependence on the Lord. We must understand that we have a constant need for his support. Without God, we are nothing. Humility is acknowledging that our talents and abilities are gifts from God. It is not a sign of weakness, but is an indication that we know where our true strength lies. We can be humble and courageous to trust in God. And back in August, the Missouri reunion, I was called to the ministry, called to the office of an elder, and it had been made known to me that this is going to happen, and my own humanness. I'm a nervous person. I'm one that, if you knew me growing up here, I was the one that walked up the side and hid myself with my shoulder. I didn't want to read out loud. I didn't want to. Didn't want to be seen, was afraid to read out loud, was afraid to say a prayer out loud. And I'm like, wow, you want me to be this elder that administers to people, that does, you know, here I am going to have to pray out loud, you know. And that thought, you know, that was my pride. That was my pride of how was I going to sound, you know, how was I going to sound to other people. And so when I realized that I had to humble myself unto God and had to know that in everything I do, he's with me, and he can help me to do the things that are right, that he can help me when I, you know, I'm still nervous, you know, I still have the humanness of being nervous, but and as I prepared for my sermon, if I thought, oh, wow, what am I going to say? I'd be nervous, and I thought, I can't get up there and talk. But what I did was left it up to the Lord. And I know that with the Lord, he will bless us, and he can bless us in everything we do if we just trust in him. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. And I'm going to read 1 through 5, and it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So we must turn away from all of these things. You know, it tells us if we follow God's teachings, it tells us that we shouldn't be proud of ourselves, that we need to love others more than ourselves, esteem others better than ourselves. We cannot be lovers of ourselves and have that self-pride. We must put God first and love others more than ourselves. So let's turn to 1 John. And this is chapter 2. And I'm going to read 15 through 17. So 1 John chapter 2. And it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So we must not be lovers of the world. You know, it's plain and true right here. But we have to be lovers of God. I'm going to read a few short verses concerning pride. You don't have to turn to them because they're really short. But I'll read them out here. And it's in Proverbs 11:2, it says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 21:4, it says, "A high look and a proud heart and a plowing of the wicked is sin." Proverbs 28:25 says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Proverbs 29:23, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Isaiah 13:11, it says, "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." And the last one here is Proverbs 16:5, which says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." You know, so that last verse, those are strong words. You know, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. I know we don't want to be that abomination to the Lord. And so we must strip ourselves of this pride. We must have that caring love for our brothers and sisters. We must have that charity. And most of all, we must place our trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. You know, with God, everything is possible. I have a personal story in my life is how I fell kind of in a trap of pride and envy. And I mentioned it last week. Dan preached at the East Local, and on one of his things, I mentioned this. But in this story, last fall, I work at a printing company. My degree's in printing. I've been in it 33 years. And so there was a position that came open. It was a sales position. And I'm an estimator planner for my company. And so I have to have the knowledge of how things run, the knowledge of, I figure out the costs. I have to know how it comes through the plant. And so this sales position came up, and I deal with salespeople all the time, and they tell me about how much money they make. And I thought, you know, I think I want to be in this job. You know, I want to make all that money. You know, one time the salesman said to me, I was asking something about taxes, and he said, oh, hate to tell you, but I'm sure I pay more in taxes than you and your coworker, you know. So here it was, this money, and the thought of, you know, I know printing. I think I could sell, you know, I can talk to people. So I went through interviews, everything was going good. You know, I even interviewed with the president. He was like, I think this is gonna work. So then they had me take a test, personality test. And I thought I knew what they wanted on this. They wanted this ruthless person that would sell to anybody. So I answered the questions, but you know, the truthfulness came out. You know, I did good on the test, on almost everything. But there was one thing that I was low on, and I scored 26%. And so I'm sitting there going over it with them, and it was on ego. And I'm like, I have an ego. You know, what's the deal? I'm sure. And so my mind, because I wanted this job, I'm thinking, I have this ego. So I looked up the definition of ego, and it says a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. If you say someone has a big ego, then you're saying that they are full of themselves. You know, and so then I thought, you know, I wanted this job. I wanted to overlook, you know, I'm sure I have an ego, you know. And then the truth, I'm thinking, I don't want an ego. I don't want to be arrogant. And I didn't get the job. But then where it comes into play here, too, is I didn't get the job. And the person that got the job, I work with. And in my mind, I think I know more than them, but I shouldn't. And for probably a good month, I envied. They got this job. I had that envy, and my pride was hurt because I'm thinking, you know, I think I'm the best person for this job. So I let that get into my life. I let get in that pride and that envy. And in the end, when I think about things, you know, to make that money, I could have gotten that job. I could have went for riches, made this money, but I had been called to the ministry in the fall, right before that. And I have a zeal to serve God. And if I would have gotten that job, I think that I'm sure to make this money, first in my life would have been this job, to sell, to make more, to earn more. And so, and my ministry would have suffered. So I know that in the end, it was God's will. I hadn't prayed to him that, let me get this job. I hadn't prayed that he would make me get this job, you know. His will be done. And I'm happy in my job. But there's so many things you can let that envy, that pride fall into it. And so we must always combat that by studying, by praying to God. Let's turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws, the law and the prophet. You know, so we must live by these commandments. We must love our God with all our heart and love our fellow man as ourselves. If we hold to these commandments, we can't have that self-pride. If we have our love, esteem others better than us, We can't have that pride in our own hearts. Let's turn to Mosiah 2. This is on page 220. And I had also told Dan last week, I was like, you know, there's certain scriptures that, I used this in my last sermon. I used a little bit more, but I'll say this is one of my favorite scriptures. And it's one that pertains to our lives. And I'm going to start with verse 9 on page 220. It says, I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his longsuffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement that which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means by which salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God. There it is, humbling yourselves before God. And ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And so, you know, we must humble ourselves. We must seek the Lord daily. We must pray to God that he will guide us in our daily lives. It is so easy to fall into that trap of pride and envy. You know, every day we must pray unto God that he will bless us that day. So how can we develop that close relationship with God? Let's turn to Alma 16. This is on page 429. And I'm going to start with 218. This is on page 429, Alma 16. And it says, therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise faith unto repentance and to begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him with when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your households. Both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over your crops of your field, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. So we must have that open communication with God. We must seek him constantly through prayer. You know, it says morning, midday, evening. And then when we're not openly praying, we have to have him in our heart. We need to have that thought of God at all times. You know, there are so many pitfalls and temptations around us that we must have that close relationship with God so we can recognize our sins. You know, I start every day by seeking the Lord in prayer and reading the scriptures. You know, this is just my routine. Start the day right. You know, because it's so easy to fall into your humanness, you know, be irritated by things around you. You know, I can be driving down the road and people cut you off, or I'm going down I-70 and somebody honks at you. You know, your mind can be focused on God, but it's so easy to switch those gears and be irritated and to do something wrong. But if we start the day with the Lord, he will bless us. And if we're thinking of God, then he's going to let us know. Let's say I get to work and somebody says something that irritates me, you know, so I spout back or whatever. It helps you to realize, oh, that wasn't the way I should have answered that. You know, I need to be a better person. So it helps us to get back on track. So let's turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 4. And just two verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 29 and 30. It says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are coming upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. And so, you know, God is always there. He's always in our presence. He's desiring that close relationship with us. So we must slow down our busy lives. We're all busy. We all have to get this done, get that done. We need to slow down our lives and think of God. Because the things in this life don't matter, but our eternal life with our Heavenly Father is what matters. So we need to slow down. We need to think of our God. We must constantly seek him. You know, God gives us weaknesses so that we can humble ourselves and seek him. And he blesses us. We have so many blessings. So let's turn to Philippians. Philippians 2. So Philippians 2, and I'll read 1 through 5. It says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, you know, we must have this love for others. We must esteem others better than ourselves. We can't have that self-pride. We have to have that lowliness that we know that God is in control, trusting in God, and that we must have that humbleness. I would like everybody to turn, you know, I love music. And in our hymns, well, I'll tell you the page real quick, 179. So I love music. In our hymns, there's so much inspiration. There's so much inspiration, and if we read the words, if we think about them, we can be touched and it'll put us on the right path. So this on 179, it's I surrender all. And I'll read these verses. It says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. Second verse, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Then all to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. And the last verse, all to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. And then the chorus, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. So do we surrender all to our God? It is so important that we do, that we look at him and have that communication and love him. Let's turn to 1 John, the third chapter. First John, third chapter, 22, verse 22, and it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep the commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given unto us. You know, and all these verses on love, humbleness, they all go together, but it's so important that we reiterate and we study and we learn so that we can love one another and put our trust in God. John 15. So John 15, the first verse, I'll start with that. And I'll start with the first verse. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide with me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You know, so we must abide with God and love one another. You know, in verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. So that is a strong love. And we must develop that strong love for one another. At this point, I'll ask Dylan. There's Dylan. Come up and help me with something. I just have a visual example that Dylan was willing to help me get. So, we all know what this is, I think. So it's a bicycle tire. And so when we look at this, what holds this wheel together? Is it the spokes? Yeah. So they hold this wheel together. And they go down to this hub that's in the middle here. So we have these spokes and this hub that holds this wheel so that it can hold this, so that it can turn. And so let's pretend that these spokes are each one of us. So we have these spokes, and it's each one in the congregation. And this hub here is our God. So you'll notice here, as the spokes get closer to the hub, then they get closer to each other. So as we show that love to God, and that we have Him first in our lives, we in turn, it makes it easy to love one another. So, you know, it's a simple illustration, and maybe silly, but, you know, it's spring, you're gonna see lots of bikes on the road. And maybe every time you see a bike, you'll think of this illustration, and think of the love we need to have for our God, and that we must love one another. You know, out here, the spokes were way apart. But as we come in here and we are closer to our God, we are closer to each other. So we must show that love to God. We must humble ourselves before God, that we can esteem others better than ourselves, that we must love others. So thank you very much for your help. I asked him last week, after choir last week, I said, Dylan, can you help me with something next week? And he's like, sure. You know, what a joy it is to, we can learn from our youth in the things they do. You know, I'm the Sunday school superintendent at the East Local, and at the start of our service, I will ask people to read. I'll go and ask them, and don't want to put them on the spot, but I want to encourage them. And some like to do it. Now, most like to do it. You know, at first some were like, oh, I don't want to do this. And I'm like, I'm not going to push anybody to do it. But now they'll come up to me and they'll ask me, you know, I want to read today. You know, so from our youth, I know it at Christmas, this vision comes in my mind at the Temple Lot Christmas program. D.A. and his boys and were going up, and they were going to do the Charlie Brown thing. And as they went to go up, Micah's eyes, he has expressive eyes, and he's like looking at his dad. And you could see that love that he had for his dad. You know, so we can learn from our children how we need to have that love for others and love for our Heavenly Father. Do we have that love for our Heavenly Father that Micah showed for his dad? And in turn, they're an example to us. It's so important that we are an example to them. So what we do in life, we need to be that example to others. Our 2016 challenge at the East Local was to be an example to others. And so we must, in our lives, think of how we can be an example of God's love. You know, so we can learn from our children, from our youth. I am going to go to 1 John 4. So 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to start with 7, and it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, and another familiar scripture there. So the more you love God, the more you will love one another. By caring for those, we can show that love by caring for those that are around you, for having that charity. And as I go into charity, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody knows this. And something on this chapter, she'll probably be embarrassed here, but I always remember this chapter because when I was dating my wife, which we've been married 33 years, and we dated a couple years, so probably 35 years ago, in young people somewhere, they ask, what's your favorite scripture? And Becky said, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So every time when I think of it, I think of Becky when... just because it was her favorite scripture at that time. And it says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So we must have that charity. Charity, which is the pure love of Christ. We must show that love to all we come in contact with. So if we put God first in our lives and fill ourselves with the love of God and the love of our brothers and sisters, we won't have any room for that pride and envy that is abominable to God. So, you know, none of us want to be abominable to God, you know. That's horrible. So we must focus on what is good and is pleasing to our God. I'm going to turn to Alma 5. And this is on page 325. So Alma 5, and it's verse 38 on 325. It says, and now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, that I might awaken you to the sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before him, that you may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatsoever things ye shall stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks to God for whatsoever things ye do receive. And see that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and then ye will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that ye may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit which testifieth in me, and my soul doth exceedingly rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed which ye have given unto my word. So again, we must be humble, we must keep his commandments, we must be diligent in the word of God, living our lives for God. I have a poem here, and it's titled, Where There Is Love. And it says, where there is love, the heart is light. Where there is love, the day is bright. Where there is love, there is a song to help when things are going wrong. Where there is love, there is a smile to make all things seem more worthwhile. Where there is love, there's quiet peace, a tranquil place where turmoil cease. Love changes darkness into light and makes the heart take wingless flight. Oh, blessed are they who walk in love. They also walk with God above. And when man walks with God again, there shall be peace on earth and men. So there it is, love, love, love of others, love of God. We must walk in that love. Let's turn to 2 Nephi. This is on page 2 Nephi 13. Page 162. And I'm going to start with verse 27 on page 162. It says, and now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say to you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ. With unshaken faith in him, rely wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feast ye upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only true doctrine of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. So we must have this steadfastness in Christ, having a love of God and to all men. We all know what we should do. So we all know in our minds what we should do, but we must apply it to our day-to-day lives and put God above all things. You know, he must be first. God must be first in our lives. We can't have self-pride. We must humble ourselves unto the Lord and let him guide us. We must keep his commandments. You know, as I read earlier in Matthew 22, it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. So if we follow these commandments and apply them to our lives, we won't have that room for that pride, which is abominable to God. So I want to thank you for your time today. I hope that maybe something I have said will help us better to serve our God, that we might always abound in good works and love our God and love our brothers and sisters. You know, I have abound in good works. I'll throw my our Sunday school challenge for 2017 at the East Local is be ye a doer of the word from James 1:22, and it says, be ye doer of a word, not a hearer only. And so we must be that doer of that word. We must love one another, show that charity. We must abound in good works. We must put God first and do the things that are pleasing unto him. And it brings us joy. You know, it brings us joy. We do it to glorify our God, but it brings us joy. So the more we love one another and that we humble ourselves unto God, the better people we can be. And so I ask that you might keep me in my ministry and your prayers, that I might always have a strong desire and a zeal to serve my God. And my prayers are always with you. It wasn't so bad. I wasn't worried about it being bad. But, you know, more people, God has blessed me. And I'm just happy to be here. And my prayers are always with you. So thank you.